Good morning. Our first reading was pretty scary. Our second reading was reassuring that we don't belong in the night, right? So we won't be subject to the judgment. Third reading, the gospel, was scary. When you look at that gospel passage I just read to you all, in isolation, it seems like what Jesus is saying is that we will be judged on performance, right? If God gives us 5 talents and we go produce 5 more, we will be rewarded. If God gives us 2 talents and we produce 2 more, we'll be rewarded. But if God gives us 1 talent or several, and we don't increase that but bury it, then we will be harshly judged, right? Punished. Thrown into the outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Like I said, if that's all we look at in isolation, it seems like what Jesus is saying is it's all about performance, right? But the only way to understand Jesus with any degree of accuracy is, well, 2 things. First of all, praying, asking the Holy Spirit to help you understand what Jesus is saying. Because spiritual things are only understood with the Spirit of God aiding us, right? But 2 is to look at other passages, especially in the New Testament, and see what else Jesus has to say. It's only when we take the whole book together and we read all the sayings of Jesus and even add to that what is written by his first followers, right, in the epistles, then we can really start to see what the whole good news is, what the New Testament message to all of us is. And when you do that, it becomes clear that it's not about performance, but about relationship. If you notice, the first 2 servants in this parable that Jesus told, they immediately went out and started investing the talents that they were given, and there was an increase. There's a difference in attitude. You see that? There's a difference in relationship. These first two, they happily go out and take what God has given them and produce fruit, produce more good things from that. And when the master returns, of course, the master being God in the parable, he rewards them. He says, enter into your master's joy. You see that? And you get the impression that they've already had a foretaste of that joy, that there's some joy in the work that they've been doing all along. They immediately go out, and there's an enthusiasm there. See, there's no hesitation. It's just they want to. They're happy to go out and do the Lord's work. And it's because of the relationship that they have with the master. The attitude, the view, if you will, of the master. They view the master with love, with positive regard. And so they happily go and do the master's will. This is the relationship that I believe Christ is calling all of us into. The third servant, you notice that his attitude and his opinion of the master is quite different. Let me see. It says, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. It's a huge difference between joy and fear, right? And I went and hid your talent in the ground. So here we have a man who spent his entire life hiding whatever talents and abilities he has in the ground. It's a wasted life. And it's a wasted life because it's a life that is dominated by fear, right? He's afraid of his own creator. When you think about the fact that this parable is really talking about God and about us, The one who actually created all that is, the one who created the sunshine and the blue sky we see out today, you know, the one who created all your loved ones, the one who created all of the opportunities you have in this life. I mean, on and on. There's a lot of good things. Our very lives we owe to the Master, to God. But this third servant focuses only on negative things when he looks at the Master, at the Creator of all that is, and sees that this Master is a hard man. And so he is separating himself from the Master. He's separating himself from God and viewing God with fear. And he buries all that he has to contribute to this life and to this world, to the kingdom of God, in the ground, and produces nothing. So do you see what I mean? It's more about performance than relationship. And there's a couple other passages of Scripture I want to share with you that I think really illustrate that. That if we have a relationship with Christ, we can produce what he calls good fruit, more talents, an increase. But if we don't have a relationship with Christ, we can't do anything worthwhile. And this is the message that Christ has throughout the Gospels, and I believe including this parable here that we heard this morning. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Same word, joy, right? Enter into the joy of your Master. So we are invited to enter in the joy of the Master even before he returns. You see that? We get that foretaste of that joy of the Master even before our lives are over, if we abide in him. If we abide in Christ, he abides in us. It's a relationship of love. He's calling us into a love relationship, like family. Jesus our brother, God our Father. That's the difference. The first two servants already saw themselves not as mere slaves, but as sons or daughters of the Master. And joyfully they begin the work that the Master has given them to do, using the talents that God has already provided for them. And if you only have one talent or two talents, God doesn't expect as much fruit as if you have five, right? So there's no need to compare ourselves to others, but only to do what God has tasked us to do as a labor of love. So it's the relationship that produces the fruit, not our own abilities apart from God. It's the empowering that we receive from Christ by abiding in his love that allows us to produce good things in this life. The fruit, if you will, the good works, are a result of our relationship with Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So see, here we have Jesus saying, all of you are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So the last thing we want to do if we're the light of the world, as followers of Christ, is to put that light under a basket, right? Or to bury it under the ground. You notice he says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works because of your relationship to Christ, because you abide in his love, and therefore give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So I think when we take this little passage from Matthew and we compare it to this other passage in Matthew that we heard this morning, we can see that the light is like the talent, and we are to shine, not to bury our light that God has given us. And finally, I want to read a little passage from the first letter of John. John was the only one of the 12 apostles that didn't run away and hide when Jesus was arrested and crucified on the cross. He's the only one of Jesus' followers besides Jesus' mother and Mary Magdalene who followed Christ all the way up Mount Calvary when he carried his cross and was there at Christ's feet when Jesus died on that cross. And notice what he says here. Perfect love casts out fear. And John exemplified that perfect love casting out fear. Just like in that passage from Thessalonians this morning we heard, if we are not children of the night and the darkness, but children of the day, we have no fear of the day of judgment. Because we belong to the light, we're producing the good fruit, right? We're increasing our talents because we abide in the love of Christ. There's no fear in love. So John writes, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So if you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in you, and you abide in God. And in that empowering of the Holy Spirit, you produce more talents, if you will. You produce more fruit. It's all about simply plugging in and abiding in God through Jesus Christ, a relationship of love with him. And so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. We are to be like Christ in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Amen.